Well, hey, Sean. Hey, Laurel.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about the governor's State of the State address this week, but just to keep you guys on your toes a little bit, I'm going to ask you to come up with one word each to define the governor's address.
Oh, man, I think that's really easy. You know, he called the special session on the dairy industry in his speech. I think that was the big news. So the word is dairy.
Okay, dairy's pretty good. I guess if I was going to offer an alternative, I'd say maybe redistricting, because he announced he was going to create this nonpartisan redistricting commission to draw up the people's map. So redistricting.
It's a solid suggestion. John, what do you think?
I think clearly the word that defined the governor's address was folks.
Folks?
Folks.
There's no rest for the elected, folks. And it's not just cheese and dairy, folks. Folks, something's wrong. But here's the bottom line, folks. It's pretty simple stuff, folks. Folks, 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 folks. It's time to get to work, folks.
Oh, yeah. How could we forget about that? Folks, it's like the rhetorical glue that holds together the Tony Evers policy matrix.
Well, let's talk about it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, folks, we talk about the governor's second State of the State address. All right, guys. So Governor Tony Evers gave a speech this week, his second annual State of the State address as governor. Where do we want to start?
Let's start with Laurel's word, dairy. It seemed pretty good. And I think probably the headline, the news, aside from my word, that came out of the speech was probably dairy.
I mean, in fact, the headline of the story that we ran on WPR was the dairy thing, not the redistricting thing. So
you didn't do dairy, comma, redistricting, comma, folks, highlight Evers, State of State.
That would have been a much better headline. But
yeah,
no.
That would have gotten some clicks. People like the folks.
Yep.
All right. Talk about dairy.
Well, so the governor called this special session on the dairy industry in Wisconsin. He wants lawmakers to come in and take up a variety of proposals that the governor says will help kind of bolster the industry that's been struggling for the past several years. We know we've seen record numbers of closures of dairy farms across Wisconsin. So the governor says it's time to time for the state to kind of step in and do some things to help out.
And I got to say, going into a speech like this, given where we're at in state government, a Democratic governor, Republican legislature, given the amount of time that's left in this legislative session, I don't think we were expecting to be very surprised by the speech. You know, I thought he would be talking about stuff that he'd rolled out previously. I thought he would be talking about stuff maybe potentially not of much consequence. I don't know. Maybe I had very low expectations for this speech, but I think the special session on dairy it definitely rose to the level of news, because what the dairy industry is going through right now in the dairy state is a pretty major transition, and it is still something we've talked about before on this podcast. It's held near and dear to people in Wisconsin, and so when the governor says we're going to do a special session, we're going to talk about nothing but the dairy industry, the agriculture industry, it gets your attention.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for people who aren't super familiar with state of the state addresses or who don't follow these things, generally it's kind of a mix of a laundry list of accomplishments that the governor wants to highlight over the past year, and then some, you know, agenda items that they want to, you know, pursue going forward. But this, like you were saying, rose to the level of news that we weren't expecting, something concrete that the governor is calling for. That he wants to push forward in the next several weeks.
And it should be noted, and we have noted on other topics, a governor can call a special session. He cannot compel the legislature, though, to meet. He can't force them to kind of be in the room and debate whatever he wants to put out there. But when it comes to this topic, and kind of given where the dairy industry is at, he's got sort of a powerful case on his side to at least force the legislature to react to what he's saying. You know, it's like a very particular topic that is harder for them to kind of say no to. You know?
Sure, because there was this special session he called about guns, and the Republican legislature essentially gaveled in, gaveled out, didn't actually take up any of the proposals that the governor had been pushing about changes to gun laws. But in this case, we did get some responses from Republican lawmakers, and they weren't indicating we're just going to gavel in, gavel out like they did on that other issue.
Yeah. So what happens after the State of the State address is the reporters sort of rush the assembly floor, which is something that we don't get to do on any other day of the year. So it's very fun. You get to jump over the velvet partition cord things. What are those called?
A velvet rope.
Velvet rope, yep. Poor partition cord.
The velvet partition cord.
You know. Yeah, you jump over those and run and get to talk to the leaders on the floor and ask them what they think about things.
That's what a robot would call it. partition cord.
I sail the partition cord and have a question for you.
That's good. We got the robot voice. I'm happy.
So what the leaders had to say about this Dairy special session was essentially, we need to see these actual proposals from the governor. We're very interested in this subject and we want to do things to help farmers, but we can't speak specifically to, you know, what we're going to do or whether or not we support exactly what the governor wants to do, because we need to see the details.
But I thought Senator Fitzgerald's response was it embraced it more than I expected from a Republican leader in that moment, just kind of given the way that things have gone around the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to mention here, if you hear any noises in the background, there is construction going on in our studios. It's very loud to us. It might not be in the microphone, but somebody's drilling like a bank vault or something nearby. I don't know what it is.
It might be Wile E. Coyote.
It may cause us to pause and gather our thoughts. But if you hear it, that's what it is. So Senator Fitzgerald seemed, who is running for Congress, by the way, and has kind of his own electoral ambitions that he's dealing with right now, sounded pretty receptive to taking a look at the dairy industry and what Evers has out there, more so just in his tone, more so than Voss. So that was interesting.
I think an interesting distinction and something that I was reminded of after the speech is that you can gavel in a special session and hold it open, and lawmakers don't exactly have to come in at the exact moment that the special session is supposed to start and start acting right at that time. So Senator Fitzgerald said, yeah, we'll gavel in the special session. We'll leave it open and sort of see how things play out in that sort of like kind of that tone that Sean was talking about, like kind of a more like accepting, positive, like, yeah, this is we're going to work on this thing. Speaker Voss similarly was, you know, like, we're going to take a look at this stuff. But he was like, yeah, we're not going to be here next week, because that's the actual day that the governor said he wants the special session to begin is next week. And Speaker Voss said, no, we're not going to be on the floor next week taking up this stuff, but we're going to look at it.
So here's something noteworthy, Laurel, that you pointed out as soon as we learned about this. He's calling this special session on dairy on the week that Vice President Mike Pence is going to be speaking in the Wisconsin state capitol. So dairy, we already know Democrats are trying to make that an issue in the presidential race, use it against Donald Trump. Here's Donald Trump's vice president in town. And so here's Wisconsin's Democratic governor saying, we got to deal with this right now. This is an issue. Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
Like trade stuff, you mean? Not trade stuff. Use dairy against the president, but
no,
but
specifically dairy.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
The struggles of the dairy industry.
Democrats
in
put
Wisconsin.
Out stuff every day saying, like, "Hey, check out how another bad thing in the dairy industry.
I gotcha.
This is on Trump's lap, basically." Mm-hmm. So they're
and
talking
a big part
about
of that.
That
is trade.
Yes, sure. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so I guess the next step is the governor and the lieutenant governor have started sort of touring around the state, rolling out these agenda items along with other Democrats, and the Republicans' stances. All right, let us take a look at what you're rolling out here.
Yeah, so this is definitely going to be an evolving sort of conversation and process as we get more concrete proposals and the debate really starts to happen about, you know, what are the concrete steps that the state can take in the short term and the long term to help out the industry?
Well, do we want to move on to Sean's word?
It's a great word. It's an interesting word.
And it fits in the kind of similar theme to yours, though. Dairy and redistricting, no, but, you know, special session is sort of a symbolic step that a governor can take, whether or not the legislature actually follows through in action. It is a power that is afforded to the governor of Wisconsin to call the special sessions. A governor can also issue executive orders. Do they carry the force of law? No, but he can force things to happen through them. Mm-hmm. And so he has previously called for the creation in law of a nonpartisan redistricting process similar to the one that's in place in Iowa. He didn't get that in law. He tried to add it to the budget. He didn't get it there. But he's going to create this commission of members of the public to draw up what he's calling the people's map.
So under the, and I think we should say we don't have the exact executive order yet. He just said in the speech that he was going to be issuing the executive order.
And I suppose he could issue it today, but it's Friday, and I don't feel like this is Friday kind of news. I feel like he'll want to roll it out in a big press release and say, look at these members of the public who have gotten to draw up this map. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that he's going to want to be using in a very public way.
Yeah, and he said these members of the public are not going to be lobbyists, consultants, or elected officials. So people that are not as intimately involved in the political process, certainly, as have been involved in the latest set of legislative maps in Wisconsin, because those were drawn by lawmakers.
And so unlike Republicans' response to the dairy issue that the governor brought up in his speech, what was their response to the redistricting issue that he brought up?
Oh, yeah, they didn't like this one very much at all. I would say Senator Fitzgerald was very kind of terse about it. He's like, you can't do it. It's unconstitutional,
yeah.
Basically.
So part of the scramble to get to the leaders on the assembly floor after the speech is that different reporters get to them at different times and sort of gaggles form and evolve and disperse as different people get there. And as I was making my way toward Senator Fitzgerald, there was already a Q&A kind of happening with a group of reporters. And as I walked up, the tail end of the phrase that I heard from him was, "I just don't know what he's thinking." So I was like, my first thought is like, oh man, that's such a strongly worded, you know, phrase. I wish that I had that on better tape. I wish I had been there, you know. But he didn't disappoint because he, you know, he reiterated that point later that he was pretty not supportive. Would that be a good way to phrase it, of the governor's proposal there?
And Robin Voss as well, the speaker, saying it just doesn't matter, that the legislature is in charge of redistricting, that the governor can sign or veto legislative district lines that were drawn by the legislature, but that his power ends there. However, there is that symbolic power. Mm-hmm. Also, here's what's going to happen potentially, probably, I'd say, in the next round of redistricting. If Republicans control the legislature, and right now they have pretty big majorities there, and we have Democrat Tony Evers as governor, they're going to draw a map that he doesn't like. And so if that happens, he's probably going to veto it. So it's going to end up in court. So if you have this people's map that is produced as an alternative by this, at least ostensibly, nonpartisan, you know, panel picked by a Democratic governor. But I could imagine that being used in court to say, here's another alternative. You know, I could also imagine a Democratic legislator taking up whatever this commission produces and making it a bill and saying, hey, here's the maps we ought to be passing. So I think it's like not insignificant, you know. It doesn't carry the force of law. That's important to note. You know, whatever this commission draws up is not going to be like the map.
Right.
It's more of a suggestion.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just have to sort of wait and see what the commission comes up with and where things go from here on that.
And who's on it.
I think it'll be really interesting to see who's on it. Yeah, if it's truly has a mix of, if they're actually Republicans on there, you know, I'd be interested to see the names on this list.
Which Republicans agree to be on it, because there's been such high profile pushback from Republican leaders in the legislature. Is that sort of going against those leaders by agreeing to be on this thing that they don't agree with?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of politicalness.
Or will it have like an academic expert or two on there who are actually pretty well versed in doing this kind of stuff to give it that kind of seal of approval?
So now we get to talk about the real most important word of the speech. As Sean put it, the rhetorical glue that holds together the governor's policy matrix. Folks. What do we say about folks? He said that word a lot. I mean, I guess sort of my real question there is to sort of look behind the curtain a little bit at states of the state addresses, states of the states. I mean, you guys have covered a fair number of these at this point. And was there anything particular that stood out about this address, about the way the Governor Evers delivered the address as opposed to past governors? You know, what was just your general take on how the speech went?
Well, I mean, I think that this, in addition to being obviously a speech that's about accomplishments and policy proposals, it is one of the only opportunities that the governor has to kind of have this bully pulpit sort of, I don't know, stand up and everybody's listening and how do I frame myself and how do I present myself and my administration? And so you do get some of these catchphrases or characterizations that sort of try to frame the person in a particular way. And I think that's a little bit where the folks comes in. And, you know, the governor also deployed his now famous, is it infamous? I don't know. Holy mackerel.
He did use that.
Yeah, he used the holy mackerel.
His,
he said by golly at one point, too.
Yeah.
And he called his wife, Kathy, his partner in mischief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Very aw shucks. I think folks actually goes along with kind of the tone of the day in a way. I mean, you had Republicans come out ahead of the speech kind of bragging about how they're the ones who are actually bipartisan. It's Evers is, you know, ramping up the partisan rhetoric, but they're actually truly bipartisan.
Yeah, and they held this press conference ahead of the governor's address. Not only did you get reactions from them after the address, they preemptively react to the governor's speech in this press conference.
Yeah, but, and the biggest thing they want to talk about is how bipartisan they are. And Tony Evers spends a good portion of his own address talking about how bipartisan he is. I kind of want to know, like, what are you guys seeing out there in like the polling numbers right now, or just why is this so important to you on this day to be talking about how bipartisan you are? Because it was very important to both of them. But for Evers, you know, when he makes that case, he has sort of this tone that seems to work for him, this aw shucks tone, holy mackerel. It's, you know, if I say holy mackerel, it sounds a little out of place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I could pull it off, but I feel like if John says holy mackerel,
holy mackerel,
he just can't sell it.
I believe
it,
a mackerel is a type of fish. Am I right?
Good.
I'm so well spoken all the time, so you know it just sounds off for me to use a colloquialism such as that.
That is right, folks. I think that sort of tone is it's like a political power that kind of works for Evers, worked for him in the campaign. I think he continues to use it today. And I think his speechwriter has recognized this because that word folks appeared on the regular in his speech. He wasn't just throwing it in there,
yeah,
you know, ad-libbing.
I went through, I haven't listened to the tape to see how many times he actually used it, but looking at the pre-draft of the speech that we got, it was used 22 times, I believe.
That's a lot of folks.
Yeah. And, you know, he does occasionally, you know, skip a word or add a word, you know.
I bet he doesn't skip folks, though.
Probably doesn't skip folks.
But, yeah, all those folks were written in the text of the speech.
I think that, you know, you asked how is this any different other than just sort of like his specific brand, if that's what you want to call it. I think it's pretty typical for a state of the state address to do the kind of things that he did and sort of play up that kind of personality thing. I mean, I think about Governor Walker and his, you know, we were reflecting on his state of the state earlier, and his was all about working and winning.
A couple of years ago, that was the phrase that
yeah.
we
phrase, yeah.
So he had a phrase that he went to.
Oh, one thing that kind of caught my attention at this speech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens at every speech, but at some point it just gets a little ridiculous how Democrats applaud for some stuff and Republicans just have to like not even move. Mm-hmm. If it was it was the same deal when we had a Republican governor up there, Democrats would not react to anything he was saying. It's got to be a little absurd to be members of the public that are watching this at times. Another reporter, J.R. Ross of Wiz Politics, actually noted on Twitter, though, there was this part where the governor talks about his tax cut, okay, taking kind of a victory lap for the tax cut that was part of his budget.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats stand up and applaud for this. Republicans do not.
Mm-hmm.
So what's weird about that is that every Democrat voted against that budget, and most all Republicans voted for it. And here they are, like, reacting exactly the opposite of how they voted, because there are rules to the state of the state, and you must follow them. So I guess it's just a thing that has to happen, but I'm just going to say it's a little bit ridiculous at times.
Yeah, kind of odd, for sure. Ooh, also, speaking of tax cuts, even though it wasn't in the speech, there was one other thing we talked about that you reported on this week, Sean, revenue numbers and how they're larger than was thought about.
Yeah.
Some other et cetera news this week.
When you talk about what the agenda is going to be for the next few months, the governor can set some of that, but these revenue numbers are a pretty big deal because what they showed is that the state took in $818 million more, or is projected, is projected to take in $818 million more over the next couple years of the budget than was previously projected, leaving the state with a balance of about $700+ million in the general fund on July 30th of 2021. When there's a balance and it's an election year, then there are ideas for how to spend down that balance. And so Republicans are already talking about, we got to have a tax cut before we adjourn for the year. Democrats are saying, you know, we need to spend it on priorities like mental health and schools. And so, you know, this very non-political report from the legislature's nonpartisan budget office has pretty big political implications this week.
So we've got a pretty, interesting calendar over the next several weeks. I mean, I think there's kind of an accepted knowledge in the Capitol that they're going to wrap up by probably the end of February or so, at least, you know, before the special session was announced anyway. So we've got a lot of debate to happen on dairy. We've got some conversation about how we're going to spend this money and a bunch of other bills that a lot of other folks
oh gosh,
are hoping get
passed.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel, guys. before, you know, lawmakers adjourn for the session and start campaigning for the election year. So it's going to be an interesting little bit of time coming up here.
Well, by golly, I am looking forward to it.
This doesn't work for you.
Me as well, fellow friends and good people.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter and good folks.
John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you folks out there are looking to stay up to date on Wisconsin state politics news, then go ahead and subscribe to the WPR Politics Podcast on Apple Podcasts. You'll get new episodes delivered to you almost every single week. Holy mackerel! And while you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. It's also available on Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify, as well as many other podcast apps, by golly. And you can always catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.